Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 299.
This week on the podcast, Donald Trump is one of the many Americans who doesn't really understand what Medicare is.
And apparently Democrats are just taking literally anybody these days.
Plus, if Georgia's governor can't win by getting more votes, he'll win by purging his opponent's voters. Democracy!
And Kanye West, armed only with a MAGA hat and a dream, discusses the infinite universe with Donald Trump.
Jared Kushner paid less in taxes than you did last year.
And Melania Trump cosplayed her way around Africa as a Nazi villain.
We'll have all this and more.
This is Brain Trust Live. Hey guys, I'm Brent.
I'm Lila, and you can find us on the web at www.braintrustlive.com.
299, guys. Podcast 299.
That's crazy.
And next week is 300, and it's at Politico. It's like they do.
Politicon.
Politico is
what you were just reading
while we
prepped the podcast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be at Politicon.
Yeah.
We still don't know what we're going to do.
No.
But we'll come up with something.
No, but they've mistakenly given us press passes again. So.
Right. Also, one thing we are going to do, maybe not related to our 300th episode, but just coincidentally around then, is have a voter guide for the California props for you.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Because we know that's actually, I think, one of the most important public services we provide during the podcast.
I think so, too.
We get requests from our, just listeners, but people we work with, just people we know, whatever, for these guides. And so we're going to have that for you next week. So if you are looking for a prop cheat sheet, that's also fun to read.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to
try and make it fun.
Yeah. We're going to have that for you.
Yeah.
Before we get into the news, we don't have, we just recorded last Tuesday, so we don't have tons of updates. But as we've been doing this whole year, we promised we would report on either child concentration camps or Puerto Rico, the beginning of the podcast every week. We don't have any Puerto Rico updates because there were hurricanes elsewhere this week. But we do know
that every 100-year storms are happening
every few weeks we have a new storm. But we did hear on the radio on the way here that Trump's hinting that they might be open to doing more child separation at the border coming up.
Yeah, sure.
So they're thinking of revisiting that policy.
Open to it.
they're thinking about it now.
They were previously open to it. They have remained open to it.
Right.
And will continue to remain open to it.
For the foreseeable future, seems like that's all.
Yeah.
That's all a possibility.
Yeah, that's right.
Stay tuned for that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you care about hurricane relief, it's a lot of places needing help. This week, because that hurricane was brutal.
Yes, it was. But the places
On the continental United
America,
States.
I was going to say, we'll get them some help, I think, probably.
It's not going to probably take 8 months to get their power back.
No. And there's not going to be miles of pallets of unopened water bottles probably laying around for
the water will get to
the
people.
Either. That's right.
Yeah. In any case, the election is heating up, as we know, for the midterms, obviously. But the election for 2020 is also heating up.
Yes.
And specifically this week, we seem to have a lot of momentum.
Yeah.
That began with Donald Trump publishing a healthcare op-ed in USA Today.
Ghost written by someone who was just as stupid as him. Like, he would have had the same amount of luck trying to pull this information from his own brain.
Yeah.
Which we know doesn't have the information.
He could have copied this right off the Fox News website. I don't feel like he needed to write this himself, even.
No, he probably
And I don't think whoever wrote it themselves did write it themselves.
Write it themselves.
I think we were speculating it was probably like a Stephen Miller type person.
That's who I think. Because Stephen Miller is like even more so than Jared Kushner. Like, I feel like Jared Kushner would be able to like read this, and as evil as I think that he is, would sort of like be able to process that like it was so factually inaccurate that like maybe it's not something that you like go to press with.
Right.
Stephen Miller is a person who like thinks he's a smart person.
Right.
But is like actually an idiot and doesn't know that he's like a real life idiot.
Correct. Yeah.
So
he's just the kind
of
person that writes something like this.
Right.
Which
he like thinks he's the thinking person in the room, but he's brain dead.
You guys, it's so dumb.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, so first of all, USA Today published it, which I take issue with their choice to even publish it because choosing to, even if the president wrote something, choosing to publish something this factually inaccurate without immediately fact checking it.
I was going to say, they should have a journalistic fail. Right. The fact check should have come with the op-ed because it did come the next day.
They got so much backlash that not only them, but every major paper fact checked it.
Right.
Because the gaps are.
Well, it was like within every sentence. I think that a lot of the outlets that published the fact checks of it were literally like, there was at least some minimal, like, misleading statement yes. in almost every sentence, and some just, like, blatant, like,
full lies.
Whoa.
Well, yeah. So the clear intention of it is to panic seniors.
Yeah, of course.
Because the very first claim in the op-ed is that Medicare for All is going to end Medicare as we know it and take away benefits that seniors have paid for their entire lives.
Yeah.
I just want to point out that the idea, and he makes this claim multiple times, the idea that something called Medicare for All
yeah.
is actually a ploy to take Medicare away from seniors
yeah.
seems like such a logical leap that I can't...
Yeah.
Like, the well, idea that expanding Medicare yeah. is the end of Medicare
yeah.
is the opposite of what it is.
I'm gonna drop something on you here.
All right.
And I'm going to... Where do you think maybe he got the idea that Medicare for All was going to undo our entire healthcare system?
Well, this is what the GOP has been saying for years.
It's also what somebody else... said fairly recently.
Hillary Clinton.
That's where I was headed.
Yeah. Say this? Yeah. Well, this is what Chelsea Clinton, as her surrogate, said on the campaign trail that made me angry at Chelsea.
I know it is.
I mean, I know. You know. We remember that podcast because yeah. we were worked yeah. up.
So this is crazier
sure.
than that, obviously. But it's a similar argument
yeah.
in that this is crazier because he's literally saying Medicare for All will end Medicare.
Right.
She was saying that it would end
words.
Obamacare,
right.
which was also insane because,
correct.
I mean, I guess on some level that was maybe right.
Well,
but
ending
it was
a bad policy to have a better one is not a net loss to right. anyone. Like, that's
exactly.
what I think their implication
right.
was that we would be ending
yeah.
a policy we currently have
right.
to get a better one. And
yes.
why would we risk it?
Right. It just like
his claim is somehow that
right.
in passing Medicare for everyone, that seniors who are part of everyone
right.
somehow don't have Medicare
yeah.
anymore.
And also the Medicare for All bill, the Sanders one specifically, which is the one that he's
right.
obviously arguing against because those are the numbers that he used, like specifically takes care of
seniors
first. So that was one of the main points that is completely misleading here because,
right.
like, besides the fact that just saying Medicare for All would end Medicare is just ridiculous
the
to
opposite.
Even say aloud.
Right.
Like, that is just not, that's not an option. Like, just
literally
screw
not
it,
what the bill does.
Screwing the seniors who have been paying into it all their lives is not what it's, what Medicare for All is going to do. Like,
right.
it's.
Yeah, it's specifically
not,
set up to not do that.
Correct. Yes.
And then he also claimed. Not erroneously that it would cost the federal government $36.2 trillion over the next 10 years, but what his claim, what his numbers leave out
yeah.
is that, so that is considered an accurate estimate for the most part. People
yeah.
do think it
nobody's
will cost
really
the federal
government.
No one's arguing that. What we are arguing is that he doesn't mention the fact that it would be like a massive offset to costs that are currently incurred by state governments, which we also pay taxes towards, and
yeah.
us personally.
Right.
So Medicare for All, because it makes healthcare a right instead of making it something you pay for independently, lowers your monthly costs as a person who either subsidizes their health plan that's employer provided or just pays for an exchange plan.
Yeah.
And also lowers, you know, then you don't have all of these like massive copays and massive
yeah.
cost sharing, whatever.
Yeah. yeah.
It also lowers your state government's responsibility
right.
for healthcare because state
yes.
governments pay massive amounts of money to
totally.
Cover people in their state and especially states with large numbers of seniors. So
right.
when you look at states like Arizona and wonder why they talk about taking Medicare money there, it's because
yeah.
it's everyone's fucking old
right.
in
it's
Arizona.
Where everybody's
it's where the old
retired
people are.
There. That's right.
It's a retirement state. but so in any case, he also in it claimed that premiums were coming down thanks
well,
to his administration. I
want
to just pick a quick bone with that.
Yeah.
Maybe in some markets they are.
Yeah.
Not in our market. But in some
sure.
markets, I believe that they are.
But
they are losing benefits, though, to do that.
That's what
these
I was, it's
plans
because,
are not as good as
right,
the other plans.
The reason that some of these are coming down is because they have gone back and allowed these junk plans.
Exactly.
That Obamacare outlawed.
Right.
So now you can get a plan that won't cover anything, and it's really
and you
cheap
can still pay
because
for it.
It's not covering anything.
Right.
So then, but once you actually get sick and need it to cover something, then
you've bought a junk plan.
You're
sucks
screwed.
To be you.
It doesn't matter, right?
Yeah, exactly. There was one paragraph that I just wanted to read because I feel like it sort of encompasses all that is silly about this. It begins with, by eliminating Medicare as a program for seniors and outlawing the ability of Americans to enroll in private and employer-based plans, the Democratic plan would inevitably lead to massive rationing of healthcare. Doctors and hospitals would be put out of business.
Oh.
Seniors would lose access to their favorite doctors.
Oh.
There would be long wait lines for appointments and procedures. Previously covered care would effectively be denied. Now, first of all, I go back to first saying Medicare for All doesn't eliminate Medicare for seniors.
Correct.
That's just to say it one more time.
Right.
But also, I love that he phrases it as if doctors and hospitals would be put out of business. Like, they're not a public good and are there to make money. Like, these are just money-making businesses that have no correlation to the public good.
Yes.
Because healthcare as an industry is not the same thing as robotics as an industry or, like, aeronautical engineering as an industry or even Apple. Because while these could argue that they provide some sort of public good, they don't provide a necessary public good, a basic necessity, which healthcare does. Healthcare, and also they don't require, everyone in America doesn't have to have an Apple computer. Everyone in America has health, though.
Correct.
Or a lack thereof.
Well, and also, I don't know what he thinks this $32.6 million or $1 trillion is going for. Because that would money be that no one is arguing
to keep
with
these people in business.
Is paying to do the exact opposite of what he's going to say. I think that he thinks that he can trick people into thinking, well, if we can't go to a specific doctor and pay them directly or have our insurance pay them directly, then they're going to literally just be like homeless people. And it's like, no, it's those trillions of dollars.
Right. That's replacing the payment from the other things. Also, he like the claim that you will lose your chance to choose a doctor is a claim that you hear a lot when we just talk about insurance changes and regulations in general.
Yeah.
But in this case, it's a outwardly absurd claim because the idea of a Medicare for all system is that we all get put in the same risk pool. And once we're in the same pool, there are no doctors' networks anymore.
Right.
The network is the American doctor network.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know in what, yes, in a world where you are a rich person who can buy a gold plan on the exchange or have the greatest healthcare plan provided by your employer, which no one has any longer, you are not getting to do that anyway. And beyond that, you know, so many, the other thing, and he gets into this too, is that, you know, you're not going to get the type of care that you know, you're going to have to wait or you're going to have to, I mean, it's like,
it's one of the things, it's what people say always about the NHS is the waiting times for things. These are,
I mean, I spent the entire summer, like on the phone with a shit insurance company who would not cover literally my mother being treated for cancer.
Yeah.
And just having to go through like a million different hoops to get referrals for be able to like go and get a scan or whatever. Like, so to imply that like, and she didn't have the worst healthcare plan that you can have either, by the way. So
no, this is with decent care, you still are stuck having to negotiate crazy kinds of bureaucracy in this system that we have.
So that is the, when people talk about what, and I'm sure that I've said this on here before, and I'm sure that you have too in some way or another, but when people talk about you not being like, you know, do you really want the government involved in your healthcare? I would prefer the government involved in my healthcare than my insurance company involved in my healthcare.
Well, and that's the thing, because insurers actually have whole departments that are there to deny you coverage.
Yes.
They have, we are paying overhead that is unnecessary so that, you know, corporate, so that the, some of the profits that they gain are for, you know, the share prices when they go up, when they talk about profit, you know, the profitability of these companies, these
it is easier
directly related to their ability to deny care that doctors believe is needed.
It's much cheaper for them if you're dead.
Yeah.
Than it is to cover you.
Yeah, because then they got paid all that money. They don't have to do shit.
That's
once you're dead, you just died. It's over.
That's it.
The expenses go away.
The expenses go. You don't
for everyone but your family.
Right.
Who then ends up paying for all the other things that the insurance company doesn't cover.
Bingo.
Yeah, it's but these claims are common claims that Republicans make when they want to argue against single-payer plans of any sort.
Yeah.
And the important thing to remember is that these are borrowed claims. So this claim about the wait times is based on what people say about the NHS. It's it's based on complaints people have in Canada.
Yeah.
It's
but also, when you look at the polling for the NHS and whatever the Canadian system is called, everybody is like, you know, it's like 100% to 0% whether you want to keep it or trash it.
You know, I mean, what's a long wait time is forever until death, which is what a lot of Americans are forced to deal with when it comes to chronic conditions or serious health conditions.
Yep.
That's a real wait time. If you need a lung transplant but you can't have one because you can't afford it, then you're waiting forever.
Right.
Or you're just dying.
Yes.
But there's no in between. And then this claim about the networks, that's a borrowed claim from back when Democrats were trying to regulate healthcare networks so that, you know, to so that we could have something like Obamacare.
Right.
That claim doesn't belong in this conversation, which is why I know an idiot wrote this. This is like an actual, this is like death panel style nonsense.
Yeah.
This is an idiot wrote this borrowing claims that had been made about a different plan.
Right.
You know. Then, but here's another quote, because I don't want to forget this quote. Good. This is the best quote in the whole thing. It's under a subheading that says, Democrats want open border socialism. And then it says, the truth is that the centrist Democratic Party is dead. The new, hopefully, Jesus. The new Democrats are radical socialists who want to model America's economy after Venezuela.
I love that's the Venezuela bleed.
That's a dog whistle, because as we know, Republicans are somehow, for some reason, obsessed with Venezuela.
Obsessed.
I'm looking forward at Politicon to hearing all about Venezuela, because you know, with all those nutsos that they always have on the panels there.
Oh, yeah.
Like, people like Tommy Lauren.
Tommy Lauren was obsessed with...
That's all she fucking talked about.
She talked about and being on her parents' health care.
Right. The two things that she mentioned were Venezuela and how she has no idea what the issue with Obamacare is, because all she's done is benefit greatly from it. But then, and then he goes on a rant about how Democrats want to pay for illegal immigrants to have medical procedures or something. Like, it's about how we want open borders and we want to pay for everyone's health care. So how dare we suggest that people that live here should have health care? Because what if those people weren't here legally? Now, I want to say one thing about that, which is, if you are here illegally, you don't actually have access to Medicare. No. I would like to change that.
No, you
don't. I think anyone who's here should have access to Medicare.
No.
But
you know what? They
But people don't.
But they also, you know, have access to care in the sense that if they go to an emergency room, then the emergency room has to care for them. And you know what? That drives up your insurance costs.
Yeah.
So, like, would I prefer to actually just give a handout to an illegal immigrant to have a procedure done? Actually, yeah, I would.
It's literally better for my pocketbook and their quality of life.
Correct.
It's better for everyone.
Yes.
It's like crazy how much better it is
on
for all of us. It's literally a win-win.
Yeah.
And well, this is literally a lose-lose.
It's called public health.
Right.
Because
health is a public concern.
That's right.
When we think about why healthcare is important for the public and why you might want to include people who are undocumented in public health plans.
Right. Because it's not good to have them
spreading germs around.
All ill.
Yeah. Like that. It's not good. If you are somebody who doesn't have access to the healthcare system, so you're out there spreading diseases, then Ruth Bader Ginsburg can die of those diseases just as much as you can.
Right.
There's a graphic going around about that, about how get the flu shot because it protects her. You know, like, but like, listen.
That's funny. No,
you know,
it's true. Yeah.
Public health protects her just as much as it protects undocumented people.
Yeah.
And we need her, you guys. We need her right now.
Yeah.
In any case, more election stuff that's going on is that a lot of party switching is in the air.
Oh, man.
My greatest fear is being realized.
Oh, I know.
Michael Bloomberg.
He's doing it this time.
He's going to run for president.
He's finally doing it, and he teases that all the time. But now he's
switched his party registration to Democratic.
Yeah,
he
went to New Hampshire.
Went to New Hampshire. I cannot say enough about how he should not be even a small contender in the primary for our candidate for president.
Yeah,
he is the perfect example of how we could take a winning hand and lose.
Yes.
And I get it. We're good at that. That is what we're famous for. We did it already. 2016 was taking a winning hand and finding a way to lose.
We've done it. We did it with Hillary Clinton.
What do you always
say? John Kerry.
We snatched defeat out of the jaws of victory.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're good at that. So I get that.
Yeah.
And I get also that when they say that Joe Biden is leading the pack, that what they're doing is snatching defeat out of the jaws of victory. Again,
that's
because anytime, if we've learned anything, it's that a robust primary process is a benefit.
Yes. We warned against this in 2013.
We sure did.
Months after Obama won his second term, when everyone
announced that Hillary Clinton was the next candidate.
Yes.
We were like,
she was a meteor, whatever it was.
Oh, yeah.
I can't even remember.
We wrote a thing about it.
Yeah.
And the same thing is going to happen this time, where news outlets are going to feel compelled to coronate somebody.
Yes.
We cannot let them do that.
No.
And we specifically cannot let them do that with Michael Bloomberg, because he is not a Democrat.
Correct.
You guys. I know he has at times been all the things.
Yes.
That's not the candidate we need right now.
That's right.
What we need is a candidate who has a vision that is different than what Donald Trump offers. I can say with certainty that Michael Bloomberg's vision is not that different from what Donald Trump offers. He is also a rich businessman whose interests are mostly his own wealth.
That's right.
And because of that, he's in favor of deregulation. He's in favor of these, you know, these small lifestyle issues he does. You know, he's like, he does thinks gun control is important, blah, blah, blah.
That's what but the one thing that I could see where in a similar way to having, you know, Sanders there talking about income inequality
or
whatever.
It would be great for him to talk about gun control.
I just don't know that that is sort of like going to be what his plan is. But like, if he's going to be there and he's going to be like gun control is my major issue, then like, if he wants to be the guy in the race who's talking about gun control, then God
Go
bless
forth.
Him. But like, don't be the guy who
It's talking about how he could be the president.
Right, exactly.
Be the Lincoln Chafee of the race.
And I don't
raise the metric system.
Right.
Be ignored if you need to be. Step out when it becomes necessary.
And you know Michael Bloomberg better than I do, but my instincts tell me that he's not entering the race just to be an issue guy.
No. No, and that's the thing. When I think about why it is that, to me, the Sanders campaign felt sort of politically purer than the Clinton campaign, it is because I know that Sanders got in there to talk about those issues and did not get in there to win.
No.
That was a weird thing that happened where he almost won. I mean, we had joke Sanders for president shirts years before.
Before he was even running.
Before he was running because that was his thing. That was his deal. He would get into races like that to raise the issue. And that was what he was doing there.
Yeah.
Michael Bloomberg
That's not his plan.
Not getting in there to raise the issue. He's going to get in there and tell us a moderate voice like mine is exactly what America needs right now.
Right.
As if any person
in
America
that's not what we just did.
Is looking for a moderate voice right now. As if we haven't had enough moderation.
No.
As if running the world's most moderate Democrat,
right.
who then picked a moderate running mate on top of her moderation, was somehow a big win for us.
Right. Yeah.
So in any case, Michael Cohen also switched parties.
Yeah.
He's doing that more as an FU to Trump, though.
Yes. But
this
he's
is all,
begging,
but
begging
he's,
for people to vote.
Yeah,
he's like calling this like the most important election of our lifetime. And
he's realized, I think, that he has a lot more to gain from Democrats being in office because it will protect him a little, too.
Yeah.
Because now that he's turned, he is not going to have a great life if the Republicans keep power.
Yeah.
But also, there was one thing that Brent discovered. This is a discovery that Brent made because Brent has his finger on the pulse of what the conservative right in California is doing more than I do because he spends like all day in an edit bay with somebody.
With a Republican.
With a Republican.
Yeah. And you've probably seen because Trump did some crazy, when he goes and his campaign rallies. Yes, I was just like literally could not think of the word
rally.
Couldn't
think of the word rally, sure.
And they've been doing a lot of Dianne Feinstein lock her up at these rallies.
Mm-hmm.
They are really worked up about sort of like how they felt like she really tried to sort of screw them all over on this Brett Kavanaugh issue, which shows
she didn't try that hard.
Which shows their complete lack of understanding at the issue, because when I explained to this editor of mine why it was that I would not be voting for Dianne Feinstein, I mean, I was already not voting for her anyway, but when I explained my distaste for how she handled the Kavanaugh situation, he looked at me like I had five heads.
Yeah.
But he is a Republican and is voting for the first time ever for a Senate candidate, for a statewide office person.
Right.
For Kevin DeLeon.
It's
because of his blind rage at Dianne Feinstein.
If we can pull that rage, because
the
one thing that we have that could be an advantage here, it's not an advantage in any other way, but we have a Republican on the ticket for governor.
That's
and we
thing.
Almost didn't. And so to have a Republican on the ticket for governor means there's a reason for them to show up. And if they're going to show up and vote for DeLeon instead of Feinstein just because they're in a blind rage about how she really mismanaged that badly, because literally no one thinks she handled it well.
No.
Democrats hate her. The right hates her. No one believes she did the right thing.
Only like moderates not paying attention.
Yeah. And there aren't quite enough of them.
There's a lot of them here. There's a lot of them here.
There's a lot of them here. And there's a lot of people who just aren't paying attention.
Sure.
But, and I'm like, she has the name recognition. Right. She has the money. But
The latest poll that I saw for governor was like Newsom 56 and Cox 42 or something like that. So Gavin Newsom is going to win and it's not going to be close. But if 42% of Republicans are planning to go vote and they all want to send an FU to Diane, and there's enough on the left that are also not happy with her, and we're already, you know, Kevin DeLeon was sort of polling, I think, at like 15 or 16% last I saw. So he was not really necessarily putting up a fight. But if like, I would assume that those were Democrats who were being polled in that race at the time. So if you assume that he keeps the bulk of those and they were all Democrats, and then you get anywhere near that 42% if that poll was correct. I mean, these are a lot of ifs.
Right.
But I mean, like, how she handled this Kavanaugh thing could ultimately send her to retirement.
Yeah.
And if it's 40% of Republicans doing I do not give one single damn.
Well, I was saying to Brent yesterday, I think a lot of the time, one of the benefits of having candidates that are strong on actual issues is for some reason people on the far right are more comfortable with a principled progressive than they are with this moderate bullshit. I think a lot of us are sick of the sort of political talk. And I think that's part of what Trump's appeal was to a lot of people. Was he making any sense? No. Was he saying the same thing to everyone? No.
Right.
But he was kind of like, he wasn't saying, well, it'd be nice if we could do this, but we can't do anything.
Right.
Or he wasn't just saying, we don't like it when the Democrats do X, Y, and Z. He right. was making declarative statements right. about policy positions he may or may not have believed. Right. And people were like, yeah, okay, this guy right. knows what he wants in the moment. Right. You know, like, I think that's something that people on the left and right are both looking for. I think it's something they were looking for even in 2016. I think that was one part of the populist yeah. rage that we were experiencing
right.
was about how we had all these candidates who weren't fucking saying anything.
Right.
I mean, that's when my mom told me they saw Antonio Delgado speak last week and he actually had some policy suggestions.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And I take full credit, obviously, personally, for that. But I mean, I had pulled him aside and been like, you have to have an elevator pitch. You need to tell me what you stand for, not just why Fazzo is terrible. And I yeah. think that need is being felt on both the right and the left. And I think because of that, it's probably easier to ask Republicans to vote for Delgado, even though he's on the far left in their estimation, just because you can say, here's what he stands for that you're for. Here's what he stands for that you're against. You know,
right.
but like, you know,
they don't like
where
a waffler.
He stands. They don't want a waffler, just like we don't want a waffler.
Right.
Now, they yeah. are making choices on their non-wafflers that are not good. They're right. not making the right,
right.
waffle
that's
choices.
Why, that's why we're where we are.
Right. They're questions.
Yeah.
But I do think that to some degree, it's not outrageous to think that some Republicans, just in their blind rage, would actually also just be more comfortable voting for a progressive who they feel like is as wing nutty as they are right. than for Dianne Feinstein, who like literally represents everything they hate.
Right.
Yeah,
totally.
In any case, also everyone is in Iowa now.
Right.
So like yeah. Iowa must be
Cory Booker
just
was there
topping.
Recently. Kamala Harris booking her first trip. It'll be the first time that she's been there. I think it's coming up this week.
Yeah.
Avenatti has been there. All the people did the
everyone's
the fair. But it, obviously next year's fair is going to be the time to go. But
Brent and I are
they
going.
Were still all there. Anybody who was sort of like casually thinking about it
has
think,
been.
Yeah. What's his face from Montana? Who I'm concerned about.
Oh
is,
yeah.
Who knows what his name? It doesn't matter.
What is his name? Bullock, Steve Bullock.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. He was there. Anyway, so they're all there.
Everyone's
but
there.
Some new people have been there recently. So yeah. And Sanders is going to be there, I think, next week as well, because he's campaigning for the guy who's running against Steve King.
I, at this time of year, always find myself feeling jealous just because I'm just like, what did Iowa do to get this?
I know.
It's like the most nondescript place that this could be happening in,
yeah.
other than that this happens there.
Yeah.
Like, it's literally a state in the, and, you know, I know you grew up there and you love it and whatever. Like, I'm not saying sure. it's a terrible state or anything. No. It's just like, it's like a state.
Yeah.
Like many states.
Like any.
Like any state other. Out there. State
yeah.
like any other that is inconveniently located to almost everyone. Okay. That, for some reason, gets
yeah.
all this love. And one thing about it, I will say, is it's not a heavily urbanized state, and most voters live in urban areas in the country. And one thing
yeah.
I do find fault with both the New Hampshire and the Iowa system, is
yes.
that when they go and spend their whole lives, you know, campaigning through Iowa, and they're talking to real voters there, and it's nice that Iowa voters get this chance to, like, really
right.
talk about what the bread and butter issues in Iowa are,
right.
they're not hearing what the actual issues are in for most Americans.
Sure. Now, what I will say, though, this year they're going to, because ours is way earlier.
That's right.
So they're
that's
gonna
true.
They're going
to have
to pay attention
here.
To us. Yeah.
I can't wait.
I know. That's exciting. Yeah.
One place where they may not be hearing from voters.
No.
Is Georgia, because they may not let the voters vote.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, they have a governor's race there.
Yeah.
That's
and we're
going to
give you a little
exciting.
Public service announcement at the end of this story
Correct.
About voting in Georgia, because
yes.
it's important. But yeah, Brian Kemp, who is the GOP candidate for the governor's race, in the governor's race right now, is the Georgia Secretary of State.
And secretaries of state oversee elections.
Right,
that's
exactly.
something you
and
need to know.
And they have basically disenfranchised 53,000 Georgia voters. They're like, basically, their voter registration is in limbo.
Right.
And of course, 70% of them are African American.
Obviously.
Because obviously they are.
Right.
Right. So they have what's called exact match, which they were just doing as a state practice for like a long time, where basically like your voter registration has to exactly match like your government documentation.
And think
basically.
Of it before you complain, as you out there in the world, that this that seems
right,
fair.
That sounds like
remember
a normal thing to do.
How many of you know which IDs your middle initial is on and which aren't?
Correct.
How many of you know which IDs your middle initial is on versus your full middle name?
Right.
How many of you know which
when
your
you
maiden name,
your
when
maiden
you changed
your
maiden
your,
name,
yes.
which forms your maiden name is on right. and which form your new name is on?
Right. Or like, you might be named Anne Marie, and if the government has it without the hyphen, there's literally like
right.
hyphen problems
yeah,
within these 53,000
exactly.
voters.
Like if you have a hyphen or an apostrophe or any punctuation in your name,
yeah.
that could create. So like I would probably not be able to comfortably confirm that I am who I say I am according to this form, because I don't
sure.
fucking know where my middle name exists.
right.
I fill out yeah. forms with different variations all the time.
And also, no one would believe that was your middle name anyway.
So true. I have a last name as a middle name, you guys, and it's not even, it's a family last name, but it's yeah. not from either of my parents. It's like in my grandparents' generation. It's my grandmother's maiden name. So.
Yeah. But anyway, so as Secretary of State, I think he sort of is like trying to do some sort of like, oh, I wasn't actually doing this because it wasn't me. Because when he was Secretary of State for a while, he actually stopped doing it in 2016, but it was due to some litigation around the practice. So in 2017, the GOP state legislature just stepped in and they were like, we gotcha.
Right.
And then they just like actually passed it as a law, because it wasn't a law previously. It was just basically like
just policy.
A practice that
yeah.
they were sort of like doing as part of their voter registration.
Right.
So now it's a law.
Right.
But you can still vote.
Yes.
So if you're listening to this in Georgia, and maybe you are, who knows? We don't know.
Yeah. You should be.
You right, exactly. You can vote. You already live in a garbage state that makes you take an ID to the poll
Correct.
With you. So that's unfortunate. But if you're going to have to be doing that anyway, they will let you vote if you go and your ID is substantially like whatever it
the
was
application
that, you,
that
your
you...
voter application was. So obviously I'm sure it's probably going to be counted as a provisional ballot and it'll probably remain in limbo for who knows how long.
Right.
But, like,
but vote
you
anyway.
You should still go. You should absolutely go. And you should go specifically just to be like,
I can
fuck
vote.
Off. Like I can
Well, and especially this
vote.
Race with Stacey Abrams is
it's close.
Close. So it matters.
Yes.
And this, as a public service announcement to everyone who's listening, who may
right.
not live in Georgia, if you go to a polling place and
they
say...
give you a ballot.
And you say, oh, I'm not on the rolls for some reason, that's weird, I registered, or oh, my
right.
name doesn't match, or whatever, you can always cast a provisional ballot.
Yes.
You might need to find out what it's called in your state. Vote Captain
right.
is about to have that information for you. That's the
right.
thing that my parents and I are putting up, so we
and
will
you
let you know. But
yeah.
it's sometimes called a questioned ballot. It's sometimes
sure.
called a provisional ballot.
And you should
but,
know the laws of your state, because we've seen a lot of terrible things happen. I think somebody recently just tried to vote and got arrested because they were a previously had been arrested for something and they didn't know that they couldn't be voted. Like, you
right.
see, you hear all these anecdotes. Like, don't, you know... Don't vote if it's actually illegal for you to be voting.
Right.
Because, like, you shouldn't end up in prison for voting. No
right.
one should anyway. But, I
right.
mean, like, you know, do the research. But, yes,
but
like, 99.9% of the time, like, if you are a person who wakes up on that Tuesday and is like, I think I'll vote today, you should just do it.
Yeah. And if you are not on the voter rolls, then cast a provisional ballot.
Yeah.
Don't let a poll worker who doesn't know take
no,
away
don't.
Your right to vote, too.
No.
Because that's another thing. Go in knowing what your rights are.
Yes.
Because
exactly.
a lot of the time when you
that's
get
sort
to polling
place.
Yeah.
Getting
when
at,
you get to a
like, just
polling
do
place.
The research, yeah.
Right. Because most of you are not at risk of being arrested at the polls.
No, you're not.
That was a very bizarre and specific
yeah,
case that
sorry.
Was designed to
right.
be in the press.
But, right,
to scare
exactly.
You.
It was. It totally
you know,
was.
That and so don't worry about going and being arrested at the polls, but do go in with the intention of voting and knowing that you have the right to vote, because
right.
you do.
Yes.
And in most states, if you don't have the proper ID, you can still cast a provisional ballot. Some of those states will ask you to verify your ID after the fact. Many of them will just ask you to sign an affidavit saying you are who you say you are. That's one sneaky
yeah.
thing they do, where they say they have voter ID laws. And then it's like, oh, but you can just sign a paper that says that you are who you, are, who
yeah.
say you are and everything's
yeah.
fine.
Yeah.
So don't worry about that. If you are in Texas and you only have a student ID you know, with you at that time, and they don't let you vote with a student ID, though they will let you vote with a concealed carry license.
Right.
Go in and cast a ballot provisionally and
yeah.
figure it out, because
yeah.
you have the right to vote if you are a citizen of where you say you are
yeah.
from.
Right. Yes.
You know, like, if it, that's
yeah.
that's it. If
yeah.
you feel like you have been erroneously erased from the voter rolls, make them fucking tell you.
Yeah.
Don't exactly. let them just yeah. get away with it.
Yeah.
And you then can always, sue them. And then sue them. But yeah. vote. Try to vote at yeah, least.
Exactly.
You yeah. know, at least
I'm
try.
Hoping this... We've seen a lot of instances where somebody will pass something like this, or they'll take away days of early voting or whatever, yeah. or they'll take away polling places like in mostly black communities or right. whatever. And it many, many, many times has backfired spectacularly yeah. on them. And I hope that this is an instance
totally.
Of that. I hope that
yeah, I hope literally that every voter...
single black person in the entire state of Georgia registered or in limbo or otherwise
shows up
and bangs down the damn door because yeah. that's what they should
it's
do.
It's what happened
that's
in what Alabama.
Yeah.
It's what it has happened in the past in Florida and in yep. Ohio. You know, that yep. the this kind of thing actually often backfires because it reminds people to vote.
Yes.
Because suddenly exactly. it's in the news and they're right. like, oh, wait, I should vote too. It's we're yeah. all going to wait 6 hours, whatever. Another thing is that a lot of states secretly have early voting that you don't know about. Mm. A lot of states will let you cast an absentee ballot in your local county clerk office or in your local Board of Elections office.
Yeah.
On whatever day before
the
election.
Oh, I had to do that.
Yeah, you've had to do that. But a lot of states...
It was in a primary, but I mean, like, yeah.
Technically, we do have early voting here. It's just that the locations are impossible to get to.
Right.
Most states say they don't have early voting, right. but you can still do that.
Yeah.
New York State has early voting in the sense that you can go to the Board of... I've voted early there many times. You go to yeah. the Board of Elections, you say, I'm going to be out of town or whatever on
That's
election
exactly
day.
That's exactly what I have found out. Yeah, I was exactly. going to have to be out of town for
and,
work, and they will,
and
like,
then
send you to...
They gave me a ballot, let me vote,
you
whatever.
Vote,
it was
you
all...
vote with Marsha Gay Harden.
Exactly. That's you can vote with a celebrity if you do that. but you know, you can always find a way to vote, even if you can't make it right. on election day. Most states secretly have a way for you to do that, even if yeah. they don't want to tell you about
yeah.
it. So in any case, just vote. It's really... important that you vote. Yeah. That's why we're going to move on to talking about reasons you might want to consider voting.
Right.
Including that...
Getting Kanye West out of the White House.
Kanye West was at the White House this week, and we just need to stop. As I said to Brent earlier today, this for me, despite everything crazy that's happened in the last 2 years, and it's been a lot, you guys, three yeah. years, this is the moment where I was like, we have jumped the shark.
Yeah.
This is, to use a TV term for what's yes, happening, because right, it was exactly. a TV show.
Yes.
This is, it got too weird for me yeah. this week. This was
no,
too
it
weird.
Yeah, it did.
It was
yeah.
too much. So imagine it's a Thursday.
Sure.
And you're Kanye West.
Yeah.
And you have already gotten into a fight with the cast of SNL, who you lectured behind the scenes about how they should stop criticizing Trump.
Yep.
And then saw Pete Davidson have a public response to
uh-huh.
And you think, you know what? Fuck it. I'll go have lunch with Trump.
Yeah.
I'll don a MAGA hat and
right.
get out there, you know?
Yeah.
And you do that. So imagine right. all of that. That's a given part of this conversation.
Sure.
Then imagine that after that lunch, you deliver a 10-minute speech to whoever's listening.
Yeah.
About
and then carry on giving one at an, I think he went to an Apple store.
Right,
and
exactly.
And then just like
a variety of topics.
Going. Yeah.
SNL, by the way, has already recreated it. They're in, yeah. like, a feud with him right now, basically. But theoretically, he's there to discuss prison reform, which is something Kim Kardashian has also gone to the White House to discuss.
Right.
She got someone released from prison. He yeah. was there to get some 68-year-old man released yeah. from jail or whatever.
She speaks about this in a way that is more intelligent than you would
Hope.
Expect and almost sort of feel comfortable with, because
yeah.
she's, like, working with Van Jones on it, and I've
right.
seen, like, the two of them interviewed together, and it's just sort of, like... That is almost as mind-blowing
yeah.
as Kanye West being
well,
at the White
she
House.
She is somebody who is professionally herself, so, like, we don't know her. Kanye
sure.
is stream-of-consciousness style doing all of this. So,
yes.
like, in Kim's case, she's probably a fucking genius. She's made
she
millions of dollars just being herself on television.
Yeah.
We don't actually know anything about her
right.
because she's a caricature of a person
right.
who lives in L.A. and
yeah.
has successfully... managed that brand for years.
Right.
So if you want to tell
I mean,
me that she was speaking with Van
right.
Jones comfortably about prison reform, I'm here to tell you
right.
I don't know if that's
important
not a thing
to remember
to,
that she has managed that brand by becoming famous from a sex tape, by the way.
Correct. Yeah.
This lest we forget.
Lest
we often
forget.
Forget, I think.
It's easy to forget. But I mean, that's... Kim Kardashian, if you were to tell me she knows everything about prison reform and she's a great advocate, I'd be like, maybe. I don't fucking know.
Sure.
Kanye West, I have different thoughts on. Because Kanye West does not... I don't think have like a private stream of consciousness. You know,
sure.
like Kim Kardashian, I believe I don't know. I feel
yeah.
like Kanye West wants desperately for us to know him.
Yes.
And to that
these
end.
Sort of like mental sort of synaptic misfires that are sort of like happening in public. I believe to be the synaptic misfires that are happening in his brain always.
Yes. He sort of feels a little bit like he's suffering from whatever Roseanne Barr is suffering from.
Mm.
Where it's like, you know how Roseanne Barr used to...
Taking too many sleeping pills?
Not be as crazy as she is now?
No.
She,
no, I'm just kidding. I do. She I know what you mean.
Was a person who successfully... And she, look, she's always been a bit of a lunatic. But like,
yeah.
She successfully managed to hold it together.
Yeah.
Through periods of great stress. She had her own sitcom on television. She was very famous for a while. She ran for president as a Green. I mean, she did a lot of weird things.
Yeah.
But, and then recently it seems like she's kind of lost control of that. I feel like that Kanye West is sort of the same. For years, he managed this successful musical brand.
Right.
He's a talented musician and lyricist.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not like he offers nothing, but it's just like this isn't what he offers.
And no.
So, in any case, I want to read a few choice quotes and remember a few fun moments from this visit.
Yeah.
First of all, of the prisoner that he was there to talk about, he said, really the reason why they imprisoned him is because he started doing positive for the community. He started showing that he actually had power. So there's theories that there's infinite amounts of universe and there's alternate universe. Little philosophy from Kanye West. Here's some other choice moments.
Boy.
At one point, he said Trump is on his hero's journey right now.
Yeah, as soon as I read that, I was like, he's been watching The Power of Myth on Netflix, because it's on Netflix right now. By the way, everybody should watch it. It's amazing. But anyway.
He cursed a few times in the Oval Office. That's in front of the press. That's very unusual.
Sure.
He praised the president for stopping the war with North Korea.
Oh.
We haven't yet had that war.
No.
And he also referred to it as one of the biggest problems that Trump solved on day one. Just got in there and we were done with
our North Korea war.
Because we hadn't started it yet. It was very easy to conclude it. He spoke of being misdiagnosed with bipolar disorder. Apparently he just was suffering from sleep deprivation. I would contend there's more there. Remember the first time he met with Trump, it was after he had what he was calling like a mental emergency or something.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, he's had breakdowns in public before. He said that he had been given a Superman cape by Trump for good.
He also said that, his MAGA hat made him feel like Superman,
right? Yeah. He was into Superman, too.
Yeah.
He said of himself, you are tasting a fine wine. It has complex notes to it.
What now?
I mean, he's a complex guy. I'll give him that, you know? He also told Trump they should replace Air Force One with a hydrogen-powered plane and then showed him a picture of it, which he then showed to Kushner and then said, well, get rid of Air Force One. Can we get rid of Air Force One? Also, Jim Brown, the former Cleveland Browns running back, just like hanging out.
Yeah.
I don't know why he was there.
No, it doesn't matter.
But the president spent all of that morning on Fox and Friends vamping about how excited he was to talk to Kanye again.
Well,
have a great love for each other.
I mean,
I think that this is just
the continued effort to, I think that, I don't even know how to put this, but like basically he's pushing the boundaries of like what we're able to sort of like process, I think. Because once we live in a world where we already sort of were struggling with processing living in a world where Donald Trump is the president. Now we're sort of like able to, now we're living in a world where Kanye West is friends with the president.
Who is Donald Trump
at the White House. Like, it's just, it's like a progression of like, you know, soon there's articles writing or right now about how Donald Trump could probably win another.
Yeah.
Which is just sort of like, I feel like he's just like pushing what we're able to perceive as like reasonable behavior, basically. Yeah. And I think that this is like
part of that. It was one of the first times
to get there. Sorry.
That someone has vamped this way in front of him and that he's happily watched and not try to take over the scene.
No, I think that he
loved it.
He loved it, not just because it was like a famous person coming to sort of like tell him how great he was.
It was good for ratings.
But it was good for ratings, and it was also like good for like imagining the impossible.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
that's a kind of fun spin on it too, because it makes it sound sort of positive. It's like if you can dream, it's horrifying. You can dream big enough, you could live in a universe where Donald Trump is a friend of Kanye West's and is the president.
Right.
We've dreamed really big.
Yeah. But literally though.
Yeah, no, I think you're right.
Like, go back to like this time 3 years ago.
Yeah.
You couldn't have.
No. This
and now
crazy.
We can.
This is This is crazy.
Yeah. So, like, could Donald Trump be king of America?
Maybe.
I mean, maybe.
Right.
You know, we heard his doctor said that he could live until he's 200. Could Donald Trump maybe live until he's 200? I don't know.
I don't know anything anymore.
Like, what? Where are we? What is happening?
Yeah. We live in a world where Medicare for all takes Medicare away from people, and Kanye West is the friend of the president.
We're in one of the alternate realities that Kanye West is talking about.
Yeah, we're in like a bit of a philosophical quandary that Kanye West, I think, is maybe the only person who understands.
Yeah.
And
I've been thinking about this a lot lately because I may have even mentioned it on the podcast last week. I don't remember, but I was watching an episode of Black Mirror. Did I talk about this in the podcast last week?
I can't remember. You told me about it, I think.
Yeah. But I was like, it was one that my boyfriend had recommended to me, and it was from 2015. And he asked whether it felt dated. And I thought it was such an insane question because I was like, it's like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, but Black Mirror episodes are like weird. Right. They're like supposed to be weird. And like, shit is less weird now. I mean, it's more weird now, but it
the real world is weird now.
So like watching a science fiction show from 3 years ago seems like it might just be like a thing that could happen.
It's so
it's really stuck with me.
It's so hard to know what to do with all of this information.
I know.
I really both think that I very much understand what Kanye West thinks he's doing here, and also think that at a certain point we have to decide that it is your fault if you buy, you know, he's playing a celebrity game right now with Trump.
Yeah.
This is what celebrities do.
Oh, yeah.
He understands that flattering Trump is a way to get what you want.
Yes.
I think, though, that what he's not acknowledging, because nothing means anything anymore, is that there are real consequences beyond the conversation to your actions when you're doing this flattery thing with the president as opposed to Donald Trump.
Yes.
And that they're not kind of effectively, you know, sort of thinking about the context that's different when this is happening in the Oval Office.
Yes.
Than when, and I think that cynics are thinking there is no difference, but there is a huge difference.
Yes.
There is a difference between bribing Bob Iger and bribing Donald Trump right now.
Yeah.
3 years ago, there was not.
Right.
You know, if 3 years ago when everyone knew Donald Trump already and celebrities were busy, doing the same bullshit vamping for other celebrities to get stuff that they wanted, there was not a difference between those two things. And now there is an actual difference between those. And at a certain point, I want to be like, I know that because you have kind of, because if you've reached a certain level of celebrity, you might think you know better than everyone else. You might think, oh, nothing means anything anymore because I know the secret, which is that all of these people are bullshit. And I get that.
Yeah.
But I also feel like at a certain point, I can't forgive you for not knowing why this is different.
Right.
And for not respecting that it's different. Because this is different than doing this bullshit with Donald Trump 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And I can't buy into the cynical argument that these people don't know that.
Right.
I can just buy into the cynical argument that they're being fucking selfish.
Which
I believe is something that Kanye West is capable of as well.
Yeah.
In any case.
Speaking of selfish people.
Jared Kushner doesn't pay taxes, you guys. You pay taxes, but not Jared Kushner.
No, not
he
Jared
doesn't
Kushner.
Need to pay taxes.
Yeah. There is...
Society's given him nothing.
Right. You know, days after the report about how Donald Trump wasn't paying taxes and also
was just handed
$400 million from his father. Anyway, we find out also in the Times that, Jared Kushner wasn't using, like, the UX... not even doing anything illegal.
No.
He was just using
the tax code. Jared Kushner not pay taxes.
Right. There is a law, basically, that allows you to write off depreciation of real estate. So, real estate can depreciate, although oftentimes property values go up,
I was going to say, but not people, in his lifetime.
Right, I was going to say, but people use this to say that it's depreciated basically just because it's a year old, similar to like how your car immediately depreciates
Trump
when you buy it off.
Trump has famously done this many times.
Right, exactly. So if you write all of that depreciation off, it basically sort of like wipes out all of the income that would be taxable.
Right.
And so that's what he did.
Yeah.
He's done
it for
the last 10 years he's done this.
His net worth is $324 million.
Yeah.
So this is a man who doesn't pay taxes, whose net worth is $324 million.
Yeah.
Just the interest on that amount should obligate him to pay taxes.
Yeah.
Let alone, because the interest on $324 million is enough to finance all of our lives.
Right.
You know, we could live very comfortably on just the interest of that amount.
Correct. Yeah.
And he does not pay taxes on that.
Yeah.
He doesn't pay taxes on anything because he's literally not paying any fucking taxes.
That's right. That law is sort of like supposed to shield real estate developers from having their investments values like just decrease from like general wear and tear.
Right.
But basically what it ends up being is just like a giant giveaway to developers.
Developers are a wild, that's a wild, yeah. Development is a wild west of yeah. everything. It's a money laundering business. And yeah, these people are money launderers, which the Kushners literally are.
Yes.
Because that is why his daddy has been in jail.
Right, yes,
you know,
exactly.
I mean...
Yeah. And the Republican tax bill last year overhauled a lot of these types of things for different sort of corporations, but not for real estate, interestingly enough.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And now we have the important updates on Melania Trump's wardrobe that I know you were waiting for.
Yeah, because you were.
Because you were. Because this is one of the best controversies that's hit America yeah. in decades.
It is. Yeah. ABC News did an exclusive this morning, Sunday morning, called Being Melania. So I can only imagine that that's what she's thinking her reality show name is going to be,
yeah,
Being Melania.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It started anyway, so already. ABC News has yeah, aired the first yeah. episode, basically.
Check your local listings.
Right.
anyway, but so they asked her about that Zara jacket that she wore to go visit the detention center.
Right.
Not detention center. Well, that's basically what they are.
Yeah, the concentration camps. Yeah,
right, exactly. Where it said, I don't really care to you.
I don't really care to you.
Yeah, anyway.
Or I don't care to you.
Yeah, so they asked her about it, and she said, it was for the people and for the left-wing media who are criticizing me. And I want to show them that I don't care. You could criticize whatever you want to say, but I will not stop.
It will not stop me
to do what I feel is right. Now, when that whole backlash happened, her publicist and also she herself said that it didn't mean anything.
Right.
Which was obviously like,
right. She didn't wear a Zara jacket right. for no reason.
Exactly. Yeah.
She doesn't wear because Zara on a regular basis.
She doesn't wear Zara. No. But anyway, so clearly she... We always knew that she was lying about that, but it's interesting that she just decided to come out with it.
Yeah.
Now.
Also, it's interesting that she would claim that when the optics of her getting on a plane with the specific intention of visiting kids that are in what we're going to rightfully call concentration camps.
That's the thing. Like,
She's familiar with how the press works.
Right. See, I can see if she... I think her...
She was going on vacation with that jacket.
Yes, exactly. That's what it was. The miscalculation was that it was to go visit the kids. Because she did clarify that it wasn't a sentiment to the kids. She said, it was obvious I didn't wear the jacket for the children. I wore the jacket to go on the plane and off the plane. Which is true, because she did not wear it while she was there. But that's where she was going. She should have literally just worn it the next day.
She was...
Like, to do anything that she was doing. Go shopping.
On a trip that was specifically for her to visit children in cages.
Right. Yeah.
That was the intention of her getting on the plane. That was why they were following her.
Right.
No one was taking a picture of her just getting on a plane, and then she miraculously, while she was on her way to the beach, stopped at this thing as a surprise.
Right.
Like... Yep. That is not an excuse.
No, it's definitely not.
For people whose entire job is entertainment, they are remarkably bad at everything, which is why I think this was probably intentional and was not.
I think it probably was too.
Really. Because
also intentional.
Because this it didn't hilarious. Stop there. The fashion don'ts. She's gone out of her way to have fashion don'ts that are like offensive on a level where you're like, just wear normal shirts.
Well, that's
you asshole.
Thing. Like, I mean, like that.
Like it makes me hate her.
Right. That jacket was like obviously like. Very specific because it literally had words on it that was a message to people. These are hilarious because she went to Africa and she was supposedly there to like talk about USAID, which is also hilarious because
the administration has
been trying to slash the budget within an inch of its life. Anyway, but she literally wore these were like actual costumes.
Yes, they weren't
like
outfits.
A thing like that you could wear in a couple weeks to Halloween and people would be like, oh, look, you're dressed like a Nazi.
Yeah.
Like
she dressed herself for trick-or-treating in Africa.
That's right. Yes.
In offensive costumes.
Yeah.
The first being... I'm sure you saw the picture. It makes her look like she's in the movie Out of Africa, but also like she might be the Nazi villain from Raiders of the Lost Ark.
She was basically wearing the exact thing that the... Yeah. No, I can't remember what his name is.
I can't either. Yeah. I haven't seen that movie in years, but...
Yeah.
But it's like cream trousers, the white shirt with the black necktie and the white fedora.
Yeah.
That look.
Like, that's a specific look.
Is a specific
look. That's a costume.
Look. It's a costume because no one dresses like this anymore.
Correct.
And it wasn't a reasonable outfit for what she was doing.
Right.
No one goes to Africa to
right,
do
no, she
good.
Was, she was photographed, like, in that, like, in front of the Sphinx. Like,
yeah.
I mean, she was basically, like, sightseeing around, like, as a...
Yeah. As a Nazi.
As a Nazi villain.
Yeah. The second one What's even better, though?
Yeah, because this, because all of those, here's the thing. Like, she looked nice in that outfit.
Sure.
Like, very if you look sleek. At that, if you look at that picture, you're like, that's a woman who's got it together.
Right. She's but in like, the movie Casablanca right. or something, but and this, is, you know.
But this next outfit of safari trousers, brown boots over the trousers, and a white shirt with a freaking pith helmet.
Yeah.
Which.
Where do you find that?
You can't.
Where can you obtain one of those?
No, it has to. You could only in a costume store or like a store that is like basically like selling racist costumes yeah. for you to like go and do some sort of.
Reenactment.
Yeah, reenactment. Yeah.
Cosplay, as Brent termed
cosplay,
it.
Right.
Brent literally said she cosplayed her way around Africa as a Nazi and an old-time colonialist.
That's right. That's what she did.
That's what she did.
Yeah.
She was doing cosplay in Africa.
Yeah.
Which somehow was even more, just like, the thing with the jacket is that it was one element of an otherwise normal outfit.
Right.
Where she obviously was like, I'm going to wear an offensive jacket just to right. show those people who are yeah. criticizing me.
Right.
And then I'm going to get off the plane and do my thing.
Right.
This was like a lifestyle. You know, it wasn't even just like an outfit. She chose to go on the world's most like Instagrammable trip to Africa, basically. But
yeah.
in a way where she was like celebrating what we have done to destroy Africa. Celebrating the destructive forces in Africa's past.
Right.
Other people go to Africa. They wear regular clothing or right. suits or something if they're meeting yeah. with dignitaries.
Sure.
And they shake hands with people.
Yeah.
Because that's what diplomacy looks like normally.
Yeah.
This was like an aggressive move that was like also kind of just like an Instagram lifestyle blogger move.
Yeah.
But like from someone who doesn't know anything about anything but went out of their way to look like they were in an old movie.
Right.
That they've never actually seen.
Yeah.
Right. And like.
Yeah, I fear.
She obviously sent her staff out. To, like, do things like find a pith helmet.
Yes, exactly. Like, I fear her next costume, had she been there any longer, would have been, like, I don't know, like a
just blackface.
Like, blackface right. or, like, a, you know, like, actually doing, like, a Halloween, like, zombie costume
right.
of, like, it was like, oh, today I'm, you know, somebody who has Ebola. Like,
right.
I mean, like, you know, like, it's like I mean, it was good she got out while she
well,
did.
I know.
I don't know what the next steps were
it's,
for her
It's
there.
Hard to know. I mean, what old movies about colonial era Africa could she have been a slave trader? Like, I mean,
yeah.
there are so many options
yeah.
still unexplored
right.
that should remain unexplored. But that you, these were two of them and she did it.
But
so
did
I,
it anyway.
So you can't know. It's just too.
Yeah.
Hard to like her. Like, I think before we sort of felt like she was ancillary to this whole Trump thing.
Yes.
Like, I didn't
and that she
hate
was,
her. I was just like, well, she's some right. woman who needed to marry somebody because she was here undocumented.
Right.
And she was working as
found
a new
general
model.
Rich person.
She found a rich person out there. He was
yep.
someone who just has a habit of marrying random beautiful women. She's a random beautiful woman.
Right.
That's fine. He lets her have her separate life. She can raise her son and go to lunch with people and
yeah.
everything's good.
Yeah.
And so I felt, we almost all felt a little bad about
right.
her.
Supposedly she was inconsolable after he won.
Yeah, I believe it. But now I'm kind of like, go fuck yourself, lady.
right. Yeah.
Literally, just go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
This is not what you should be doing.
No.
You know who had a terrible husband who managed to come out looking fine? Laura Bush.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, like.
Just laid low.
Our previous worst president ever.
Right.
Even he was. If there was one thing that I would say, well, at least he did that, it would be a lot of the things that
Laura
he
Bush.
Got done it, well, and in Africa specifically.
No, that's
like
true,
with
yeah.
the, with the AIDS crisis.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
but
even he got Africa right, and he was a fucking bumbling idiot.
Also,
I mean,
he was a terrible human being and a bumbling idiot, who also had, like, an actual evil robot running everything for him.
Yeah.
But Laura Bush, despite being weighed down with all of this terribleness,
right.
managed to come out just seeming like a generic fine person. I don't harbor any ill will towards Laura Bush.
No.
I don't feel great. You know, she's not someone
yeah.
I feel super positive about. But
right.
I don't feel anything about Laura Bush. I feel fine.
Right.
I don't even think about Laura Bush.
Yeah.
That is what I wanted from Melania.
Right.
You don't want to be the first lady? Fine. That's fine.
Right.
Lay low. You know, don't yeah. wear outwardly offensive outfits. That's all really all you needed to do.
Yeah, that's
she
it.
She doesn't even need to be anywhere.
No, she doesn't.
If she wants to go to Africa, that's fine. Just wear normal clothing
yeah,
while you're
just,
there.
That's right.
That's all it took. Like, literally, that was all that would have taken. No one would have even found out she was fucking there.
Yeah.
And if we had found out, we would have been like, that's nice.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's the same with visiting those children. If she hadn't worn that jacket, we would have been like, well, look, that's nice.
She likes the kids. She has a kid.
That's all it took.
Yeah.
Now, I have to hate her. And I just am running out of energy to hate people. These people are so horrible. There's so many of them to hate.
I know.
I don't know how much room I have for her.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I can't let this go.
No, you know? Can't. Also, it's just hilarious.
And it's so funny, also, that she is, like, managing to offend us this way via exclusively just, like, outfit choices.
Wardrobe. I know.
Like, it's the most sort of celebrity move that she could be making.
She should, part of me wants to commend her.
she's doing full Trump without saying a word.
I know.
It's like, it takes some skill.
Oh, boy.
In any case, that's the news this week.
300 next week, guys.
You guys.
Politicon, 300. We're going to do some sort of
fancy festival.
We haven't yet.
A fun.
Even begin to think about.
Nope. Part of that blowout is going to be telling you how to vote on the props.
That's right.
Exciting.
That's
if
exciting.
You don't live in California, you read should know anyway. You should know what's out there.
Yeah.
You know?
And we read about other states' props.
Exactly. Yeah. If you live in another state and you want us to cover one of your props, we'll do it.
Yeah.
We're not proud, you know.
Certainly not.
And we will talk to you next week. And also check our social media because we will be on social media for Politicon
for sure.
Hardcore.
Yeah.
Because that's
when we do our most social media.
That's right. That's right. We're active.
Yeah.
Politicon social media people.
That's right.
But we will talk to you then.
Bye.